Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Creator and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Order after chaos is always welcome. For the family of an alcoholic, days of sobriety are a relief after the chaos of too much drinking. For any of us who have been through a trauma, just an orderly, boring day is a blessing. Chaos can take less disturbing forms, though. When our daughter Marika was 18 months old, we had to get out of seminary housing, so I started packing. We didn't have calls, so we put most of our stuff in storage, whatever wouldn't fit into Don's Saab. And after graduation, we house sat, stayed in a friend's RV, and then moved in with Don's mom until we received our first calls. By that time, Marika was 22 months old. We had no idea how much all that moving around had affected her. But when we started unpacking all of our stuff, especially her stuff, she was one happy toddler. She recognized all the stuff, even though she hadn't seen it for 4 months. And seeing her stuff there made her realize that where she was now was home. Finally, a place of order out of the chaos. And home was good. Goodness is what today's readings are all about. God brings about goodness through God's ordering of creation. What was there in the beginning was chaos, a formless void and darkness. Then God ordered creation into being, and it was good. Kind of reminds me about what's happening with our building, order out of chaos. In Genesis chapter 1, it was light in place of darkness, designating days and months and seasons and years, the assignment of plants and animals of every kind. It was good. In this story, we hear God's first pronounced blessing to the creatures of the sky and the sea. Be fruitful and multiply. That was part of God's good ordering of creation. And after God created the other animals and the humans in God's own image, God blessed them too with that same blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. Plus this extra instruction for the humans. Be good stewards of the earth and of all the creatures in it. It is part of the expectation of our Creator that we humans take care of the rest of creation. It seems to be basic to our relationship with God. We certainly could stand to be better stewards of the goodness of God's creation. We have done a lot to break it. One of the primary causes of the Sahara Desert was the human action of cutting down trees. In more recent times, use of pesticides and herbicides have affected bee colonies and may soon impact our food supplies. The carbon emissions that we have spread so fast in the industrialized age have caused our earthly home to be less amenable to life that God created to be good. The second reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians offers hope for another kind of goodness, the goodness of working through the pain of broken relationships. By the time Paul writes this second letter to the people in Corinth, they must have been even more messed up than they were when he wrote his first letter. In the verses right before today's text, Paul warns them that if he comes to see them again, he will not be lenient. He also notes that if there are charges brought against anyone, there must be two or three witnesses. We don't have any idea what the problems were in Corinth, but the fact that Paul is talking about bringing charges and needing witnesses, you know that can't be good. When I'm at home, I hear the roar of helicopters several times a day as they circle the home of my neighbor, Bill Cosby, three blocks away. Most of us with broken relationships, even when charges are brought against us, don't have to deal with it so publicly. So we have more room for grace as we try to bring healing to relationships we have broken, as we try to put things in order to restore goodness. But I pray that we do try. Jesus' brief words in today's gospel remind us of all the good words he has spoken. Jesus gathered with the disciples on a mountain. Perhaps it was the same mountain where he preached his first sermon, his most famous sermon. On this day, at the end of Matthew's gospel, in Jesus' last words, he assures the 11 of his authority, and then he commands them to make more disciples, even foreign disciples, and to do so according to his teachings. Teachings like, blessed are the peacemakers. Teachings like, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the penalty for murder. Teachings like, love your enemy. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Judge not, that you may not be judged. These are just a few of Jesus' teachings as Matthew records them. These teachings of Jesus are hard to follow, but good to follow also. This time on the mountain, Jesus reaches out to his closest followers, who both worship him and doubt him. You'll notice that Jesus does not judge them for their doubts. Jesus does not reject them for their doubts. Instead, He gives them tasks to do. He gives them their mission. But that is not how Jesus leaves them. For Jesus, God's word of grace and mercy, leaves his followers with an even more comforting word. Jesus' good promise, his last word, "I am with you always to the end of the age." God, who created everything, who brought order out of chaos, who provided us with laws, which we broke, and who provided us with the Savior, whom we also broke, God is determined, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, to keep on saving us, to keep on healing our brokenness. God is determined to be with us always. God is determined to be our home, no matter where we are. And it is good. Amen.